I'm Christine Dean. We have a special Live from Studio A session, and our guest is Garrett Dutton, otherwise known as G-Love. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
What do you want to get started with?
All right, this is a song from, I just put out my new record. It's our 11th record. It's called Fixin' to Die, and it's out on iTunes and in stores right now. So I really like to play a couple songs off it right now, and this first one's called Milk and Sugar.
Best part of waking up, that's Folgers in your cup. Well, I don't know about that, but I know what I like. Milk and sugar in my cup. When I come home, won't you fill me up? My back is breaking, babe, I'm all out of luck. I'm gonna make my coffee strong and sweet and fill my cup. Yeah, give me that milk and sugar, baby. Talk with some time. That road is long and the time is hard enough. It won't take much for you to stop me. Well, give me that milk and sugar, baby. Milk and sugar, baby. Ooh, when I'm riding in the road, it's getting rough. She like an angel coming down from above. Now that's some good coffee. I like that coffee stuff. Wake you up, make you feel good. Some like cream and honey, some like it dark as night. But I like it how I like it. See, she always do it right. When I'm headed in some direction that's wrong, she never let me forget where I belong. Oh, give me that milk and sugar, baby. Milk and sugar, baby. Ooh, when I'm riding in the road, it's getting rough. Oh, she like an angel coming down from above. Oh, wanna make my coffee strong and sweet and fill my cup. Make my coffee strong and sweet and fill me up. Come on, baby, make my coffee strong and fill my cup. Make that coffee.
Milk and sugar.
Much like coffee, that is a great way to start, I think. What a great tune from your new album, Fixin' to Die. Now, because this is your first time in Duluth, and because I know that, like many singer-songwriters, you were inspired by Bob Dylan, I want to ask you, how did he inspire you?
Well, I think for me, when I was a young teenager, like, you know, 13 or 14, I discovered my mom's small but amazing record collection, and it had, you know, just records that to this day I'm stuck on, like the Beatles' White Album and Dr. John and The Right Time in the Wrong Place and Donovan's Greatest Hits, John Denver's Greatest Hits, Willie Nelson, Bob Marley, and Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits Volume 1. And I think especially from listening to Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits Number 1 and the Beatles' White Album, you know, at that young age when I had been playing guitar since I was like 8, so I was just able to start, you know, getting around the guitar pretty good around the time I discovered those records. And I don't know, I think subconsciously it kind of triggered some desire to write songs. All I know is that, you know, when I was 16 or 15, I started writing my first songs. And they're, you know, they're definitely all inspired by the Beatles and Bob Dylan. And my guitar teacher had this band, and he had a harmonica player. So we thought the harmonica was pretty cool when we saw him play. He gave us one lesson, me and my best friend, who's now my manager. We took a lesson and got a special 20 Hohner harp. And I just kind of took off with it, and then I got the harmonica rack. So this was 1986, and there was no one in my junior high and high school playing acoustic guitar and harmonica rack in 1986. So, you know, I immediately felt like I had something, an edge, and that was pretty cool. And it was only till later when I went out and played like open mics that I saw that a lot of people also were, you know, influenced by Bob Dylan. The story kind of continues, because from there I kind of searched for other people that played harmonica rack, and I got turned on to this guy, John Hammond. John Hammond, turns out, when Bob Dylan was running around the village in New York in the early 60s, John Hammond was his best friend, and John Hammond's father signed Bob Dylan to his Columbia record deal. So over the years, I've always felt like I had two musical fathers, John Hammond being really the primary one, and also Bob Dylan. And it's been really interesting to me because they're both still out there touring, probably playing 100 to 200 shows a year around the world. And both have remained, you know, consummately true to their craft and their style of music. And, of course, Bob Dylan's enjoyed a huge, great celebrity. And John Hammond's probably put out just as many records, but, you know, a lot less of a celebrity. But equally great of a musician and influence on me. And I've gotten to become really good, like almost family friends with John Hammond, but I never got to meet Bob yet.
Not yet, though, huh?
But yeah, so today was pretty, it's pretty special for me to come to Duluth and, you know, be where one of, you know, my musical fathers was born. It's pretty, it means a lot to me.
Well, now the Avett brothers can introduce you because they just performed with him on the Grammys.
I know,
so.
You don't have to rub it in my face. Damn, Christine.
No, it's an in. You got an in now. You got an in now.
Well, actually, we're friends with Bob's guitar player, Stu, and he came by the show in Nashville, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting. You know, from everything I heard, Bob's a pretty quirky character, to say the least. So, sometimes you want your idols and your superheroes to just remain that, you know what I mean? And one thing about doing what I've been able to do as a musician is to be able to meet a lot of my idols. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can be a real, mostly the time it's a real positive thing. But sometimes it can, you know, sometimes you want to just know the music, not the person. You know what I'm saying? So Bob Dylan, I'm kind of trying to keep him up as like a demigod.
Well, it sounds like it worked out with John Hammond, though. So
that's good.
I'm glad it worked out with him. Well, new album, Fixin' to Die, was produced by Scott and Seth Avett. Oh, and the other thing about Bob Dylan was that I had heard that you actually first learned the Fixin' to Die tune from a Bob Dylan record.
True, yeah. That was a song on his first record. And that first record, of course, is one of my favorite records of all time, and definitely very influential on everything I do. So I played a lot of songs from that record over the years, and Fixin' to Die was one of them. And it's an old Book of White tune. And I didn't even realize that till after we recorded it on this record. I thought it was just a traditional song. But Book of White wrote it, and my version is based loosely on the Dylan version. Mm-hmm.
That's a great tune. Well, let's hear another song. What else do you want to play from the album?
All right, well, I'm going to play the song that's the new single right now. And this is a song called Just Fine.
I got bills to pay, overdue since May, and paying bills ain't something I'ma do today. I ride around about the life I threw away. Are you the reason that my sky went from blue to gray? Yo, was it me loving nothing but a four-letter word? when you heard what I did. My bridges were burning, now I'm stuck on the wrong side. It's gonna be a long time. All the fine girls in the world, they don't mean nothing now. Women come in, women go, but for something real, you gotta take it slow. I ain't too smart, but one thing I know is nobody wanna live alone. Say you love me one more time. Say you need me to get back. Say you love me and I'll be just fine. I'll be just fine. I'll be just fine. I'll be just fine. Oh yeah. I'll be just fine if you give me just half of your time. Cause your kiss is so delicious, like this glass of fine wine. I'ma drink it up, can't get me enough. And when you're gonna write you letters just to send you my love. And it ain't cool what I did, but I made a mistake and made a fool of myself when I let your heart break. But I'm laying with this girl and I don't know her name. Don't love her half as much as this guitar that I'm playing. Oh, women come in, something real, you gotta take it slow. Ain't too smart, but one thing I know is nobody wanna live alone. Say you love me one more time. Say you need me to get by. Say you love me and I'll be just fine. I'll be just fine. Well, I'm on it to mine again. Let's do this thing one more time again. I'll never feel fly again till we're walking down the street in time again. Throw me a sign again. I'll write your name in my rhyme again. I'm on the corner, see I'm begging for change. Like a bum out of luck, I'm holding a sign that says
Love live from Studio A, and that was another tune from his latest album, Fixin' to Die. And you're kind of known with Special Sauce. You've got some, not only the blues influences and the, you know, singer-songwriter influences we talked about, but the hip-hop influences, and that's kind of the one song on the album that does have a little bit of a rhyme in it. but that's one thing that's I like about the album is that you've got a variety of stuff on there. You're doing some more traditional sounding stuff like Fixin' to Die, and then you've got a couple of more modern covers, Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, and also the Pale Blue Eyes cover. How did you decide? I know, and you recorded this with the Avett Brothers in a very short period of time, about 9 days, right?
Yeah.
And so, how did you decide on what was going to end up on the album?
Well, that was kind of that was the first thing that Scott and Seth Avett did as producers, was to kind of help me go through the demos. I demoed out about, I don't know, around 30 tunes, kind of my repertoire of, we wanted to do something really different than we've been doing. So we wanted to go back to my roots as a blues player and a coffee shop musician in a sense, it was kind of like a second chance to make another first record, because the material stretches. The original songs were written anywhere from, you know, that period, what I was talking about earlier, like that late 80s period to last summer. And then I said, well, if I'm going to do this blues roots record, I want to put maybe a couple of the renditions of songs I do by people like Mississippi John Hurt and Booker White and Dylan. And so once that was open, we decided, well, let's do a couple other covers of some more, you know, contemporary, well, at least from the 60s, like, you know. So we threw that 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover and the Pale Blue Eyes.
And I heard that your manager had kind of been bugging you to do that one anyway.
Yeah, yeah. He'd been into me doing that on for a while, trying to get me to do it. He thought it could be a good cover for us. And I don't know. I was never really that into the idea, and then all of a sudden I really got into it and clicked with it, and we really did something special with it, so that was cool. But yeah, so I demoed out all these tunes, and you know, the cream and the crop always kind of rises to the top. But Seth and Scott kind of went through with me, and we picked about 16 tunes that we thought were you know, some of the strongest in the bunch. And then there were some that I felt really strong about. So that's usually how it goes down with a record. You know, oftentimes it is a group process. But as a songwriter, you know, you love all your songs. So it's definitely oftentimes hard to be objective and pick which ones are the best. Because you might think that your newest song is the best, but one of your older songs that you might not be so fresh on might really be a better song. A good way to tell, I think, is how much of a longevity a song has. If you wrote a song 10 years ago and you're still playing it, and you still know how to play it and remember all the words every night, that's a good chance that it's a really strong song, you know. Again, it's the same thing. If you write a song, you know, that you feel great about this week, and next month you're kind of over it, well, you know, maybe that was just a moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, but anyhow, the Avids helped pick out the songs, and we felt like 16 was a number we could get through in 9 days if we really were focused and were playing well and getting great takes. So we end up getting it done.
And you worked in a really beautiful studio. I saw some pictures on your website in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, we went to Asheville, North Carolina, to a studio called Echo Mountain Recording Studio, which is a studio where they had done various parts of all of their records, and worked with an engineer there named Danny Kadar, who also last year he worked on the Band of Horses record, and he's a really great engineer, and he's worked with the Avids on most of their records as well. So it was a great team of people, and the studio itself is this old converted church, and you know, you just walk in there, you really feel like something special could happen. It definitely, you know, that feeling when you go into a church that has that kind of cool, airy feeling and the lights filtering through the stained glass. And, you know, I walked in there and I was like, okay, it's on, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it worked out. Yeah. So it worked out pretty well for you guys. Well, let's hear one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
All right, well,
let you hydrate first.
Send this one out to Bob Dylan and any of Bob Dylan's relatives that are milling around the area. This one's called, it's the title track from a new record, and if you want to get more information about the band, you can go on to philadelphonic.com and check out our touring and get the record. So we really appreciate the support of you guys playing us here, and thanks for having me. And this is Fixing to Die.
Feeling funny in my mind, Lord. Believe I'm fixing to die. I'm feeling funny in my mind. Believe I'm fixing to die. Well, I don't mind dying, but I hate to leave my children crying. Well, I'm
Do Love, live from Studio 8. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much, Christine. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Today's program was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Cameron Flackney and Sarah Koshin, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This is live from Studio 8. Thanks for listening.